God is there. My Father is there. The saints of old are there. And many people that we know are there. If you could stand, please, and turn your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 6. Book of Acts, chapter 6. And we are on this theme right now called Refocus. And I think that's what we need to do, all of us, includes me as well. Refocus our lives on what is important. Yeah. You know, we go through from day to day. The sun comes up, the sun goes down each and every day. And we need to refocus on what is important in our lives. And stop looking at the life of others, but look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Look what it says. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, then arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over their business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And look at just a part of that verse 5. It says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Help us, Lord, each one of us here to refocus on what is important in life. Lord, may we make you our first priority in life. May we make you our number one focus in this life. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that really never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may today they really refocus on what is important. Lord, salvation is the most important thing we can do in this life. A ticket, so to speak, to heaven. May they open their hearts to you this morning. And may they receive you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So today we continue to do, of course, our theme for the year is refocus. And of course, today we have these cell phones and other things that we don't need focus. The thing focus for you or refocus for you. But I remember the olden days when you have the cameras and you have to actually to refocus the camera to get a good picture. If not, you had everything blurry. But refocus. Sometimes life is very blurry to all of us. And then very blurry that we need to stop. And we need to refocus on what is important. I think God is important, isn't he? Amen. God is important to me. And then we need to refocus on what is important. And I'll tell you what. This whole year, we're going to refocus on as the theme. And I'll tell you what. I'm preaching to myself as well because I need that as much as you need. Is to refocus on what is important. Now, this morning, we're going to refocus on theme work. My question to you is theme work important? I believe so. Yeah. Theme work is very important. So theme work, do you believe that theme work makes a difference? Yeah. Yes. For one thing, you know, contemplating on this subject, on this topic is like, I can't do everything by myself. Again, I mean, listen, I'm a kind of guy, and I was like, to me, it's better to do it than to tell somebody to do it. It's just me. I mean, even to teach somebody, I better teach myself to actually. But you know what? I learned what time is this. Teamwork is important. And get somebody along with you. You know, it is important. So one person can certainly make a difference, and every individual is important. Every individual is important, isn't he? Every individual is important to God. And should be important to us. And if every individual is important to the local church, yes. But we can have even greater influence. Influence if we have teamwork. For an example, a bee can pollinate a flower, and that's a cool thing. But it takes a whole hive of bees to make honey. Teamwork. So in the years that I played sports, I learned on this thing of teamwork There are guys in a sport that rise to the occasion. They're pretty much they resemble the team. But Tom Brady cannot win the Super Bowl without teammates. I don't care how good he is. He left New England. Why? Because he was crying that there was nobody to receive his ball. So no receivers. I don't have a good team. Obviously, you recognize that you need teamwork in order to accomplish something. Folks, let me put it this way. If we're going to move forward as a church, we need to have teamwork. I mean, we need to get together. We can't have five doing the job of 100. We need teamwork. We need to get together, pull our sleeves and say, I can do it. I will work because there is a cause. You know, teamwork is always the thing. It is a cause. If sports team, they have a cause, they want to win. See, in the end, what happens? They win. Teamwork. So actually, any organization that implements the concept of teamwork has a great chance of success. No matter what organization it is, teamwork. I mean, in my place of work, here's one thing they emphasize constantly all the time. Teamwork, teamwork, teamwork. They never talk about that employee or that individual. They're always talking about the team, the team, the teamwork. It's always the same thing. And even when we relate to each other, here's one thing they want you to say, teamwork. We are a team together. And when we talk about each other, we say a team member. We never say a co-worker. I have to say a team member. So they believe in that concept of teamwork. So we have a greater chance of success. So now I firmly believe that teamwork is a must in the local church as well. I believe it's a must. The pastor cannot do everything. It says right here, you know, we cannot leave the Word of God to serve tables. Because you know why? Who loses? The rest of the team. You see, the teamwork, I believe in the local church we need teamwork. I actually think that the Lord is very pleased, listen to this, when His children work together in unity of mind for the same common purpose. Saturdays is a blessing. Yes, Saturday. What happened Saturday? We got a bunch of people from our church family here serving the Lord together. Some did this, some did this, some did this. In the end, who gets the glory? God does. And in the end, you go home rejoicing. I mean, if you're with me, I went home rejoicing. I was so rejoicing that the lady gave me fish. Give us fish. You know, New England local fish. You know, like scuppies, and I don't know if it was scuppy is. And what is the other fish? There's another one. And I took them home. As I got home, I told my wife, I took them by myself. This is not mine. This is for the food pantry. So I got to bring it back. I put it in my freezer so you know how fish goes bad so quick. But I went home rejoicing. You know why? It's part of our teamwork. Teamwork. First, I mean, I took a big shower at drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. I went to get my food for lunch, and of course, it was pouring rain, so I was looked all wet all over on one side. So I was a little down, and then I went and got that stuff, and I was rejoicing. But teamwork. You know, some do this, some do that. Some, you know, even the little things. That's what, listen. If you walk into the church and you pick up a little paper that is on the floor, it's something that somebody else might going to do it. It's part of teamwork. So I actually believe that in the local church, and God gets the glory, of course, God gets pleased when His children are working together. For an example, in a home. Let's say you have five people in your home. I said, my home used to be five. No, he's on the three, four with grandma. But anyway, like one this way. Okay, so let's say you sit down for dinner. All right? Many people don't have dinners these days. But anyway, you sit down for dinner. Somebody helps fix the table. Somebody brings the fork. Somebody brings the knife. Somebody brings the food. Somebody's cooking things. What does that mean? Teamwork. When it's done, somebody pick up the plate. Somebody pick up this one. Go wash the dish or puts the dish in there. That's right. Teamwork. So what happened in the end? You don't feel exhausted. One person doesn't go, hi, I'm so tired, and have you guys sitting around like kings in hell. Teamwork. So, folks, we have much work to do, and we need all the help we can have. God has this intense longing for us to cooperate with others, so He creates us to be most satisfied in life when we work together. in our homes, in the job, in our community, in the church, God wants us to participate to practice His precepts so that we can enjoy the benefits of working together. None of us is happy alone. As we work together, God made us in that way. Teamwork is one of the central keys to leading a rich and satisfying, and a rich life. Let me put it this way: throughout the first five chapters of the book of Acts, the early church was truly making a difference. They were working on their relationships, caring for others, experiencing the fullness of the Spirit, exercising generosity towards those in need, and remain faithful in the face of opposition. And so by the time we arrive in chapter 6 here, this congregation had grown so many thousands of people, and their gospel impact was an amazing thing, but now they would deal with a new challenge, a challenge from within. The problem had surfaced in the church, and how the Christian deal with could have determined the future of their movement. What happened? It was a problem with the widows. Somebody needed to take care of them. How are they going to resolve that? So we will briefly look at the details of this problem here this morning, but we will focus our attention mostly on this solution, which was to set apart seven new servants, leaders in the church. So today is, and then we need teamwork among God's people. We need men and women of different backgrounds and upbringings working together, listen to this, in harmony. Because we have to work for the same cause. What is our cause? Jesus. What is our goal? Jesus. What are we promoting here? Jesus. What are we trying to tell the world? That Jesus saves. That's our goal. So we need each other. So we see there the seven men that just, so we discover from the early church development of life that ministry, it is important in a way, but I tell you what, teamwork is extremely important, not only outside the church, but in the church. You are important. You are needed in a local church. So let's look at this from several points this morning. Number one, teamwork produces a decisive remedy. That's what teamwork does. So until natural friction develops, there's no real test of team strength. This group of Christians saw the need that surfaced and as an opportunity to draw them closer, not an edge to drive them apart. Folks, problems will arrive no matter where you are. You got this? Everywhere you go, where there is people, there is what? Problems. Listen, whatever, I mean, there's a guy that works with me, he said, I can't stand this job, I'm going to quit this job, I can't stand these people, I'm going to quit. I said, let me remind you of something. The next job you go, there's people there. You're just going to get a new set of problems there.
That's right.
And that's what it is. Where there's people, there's problems. But see, right here, the church is growing, and what happened? Something shows up. Look what it says in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. So, let's look at letter A, the reality of the need. Verse 1 tells us about the need. Look at verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, meaning the church was growing, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in their daily ministry. So these verses, the verse 1 describes to us that there was a need in the church that needed to be resolved. Folks, problems arrive, and you know what we do? We resolve it.
Yep.
We communicate, we talk about it, and we come with what? A solution.
That's right. Amen.
If we argue about, there's no solution. You're going to argue and argue and argue, and the sun comes up, and the sun goes down, the sun comes up. And you know what? You continue to argue. It has to come with a solution. So this verse 1 says right here that it is a problem. So let me remind you this morning, the needs don't get resolved by arguments and disagreements. Needs get resolved when people with willing minds find a solution for them. For an example, I was in management for 14 years. Every morning we had a meeting at 9 o'clock sharp in the morning. What was the meeting for? It was a product that needed to go out the door. There was problems that arrived. So we sat down and we meet together with the same common goal so the product could go out the door, because that's how the company would go on. So if it was problems, we would sit down and talk about it. We didn't talk about them putting people down. We talk about them, what's the solution? I'll give you an example. We were in the production area. There was this lady was putting tongues in a buckle, all right? And there was we found out that she actually put the tongue on her finger. She stamped her finger. Boom! It went right through her finger. So we decided, okay, this can't go on because they were working piecework. So there's a mass production going on. So what can we do? We didn't go in and say, it's your fault. You shouldn't put your finger there, because it doesn't resolve the problem. So if he said, well, we say like this, right, why did you put your finger there? What in the world are you thinking? You know what we do? When the next person comes along, it has the same chance. So we sat down and said, somebody got hurt. What can we do to avoid that? So we had our brains to somebody that is in the company. We call them back inside and said, what can you come up with so we can create a safety mechanism so this don't happen again? We sat down, he looked at it, he did his thing, he come up with a solution that week. He said, we can do this. Let's implement it. It worked. You see, problems arrive, we come up with a solution. Otherwise, nothing gets done. So, let's talk about this thing right here. So now, there are two Jewish subgroups here in this Jerusalem congregation here. First, there were the more traditional, strict Hebrew Jews. And second, there was the most progressive Greek-influenced Hellenistic Jews. So as the needs of the poor, especially the widows, were met in the congregation, the Hellenistic Jews questioned the fairness of the distribution of resources. They felt that the Hebrew Jews, who were in charge of delivering the charity, were discriminated against their widows. So we see there is a problem here. Folks, those days there was no government assistance, okay? And people that were widows, they were in a tough spot. All right, then the church needed to get together and help each other. Okay, so they felt like was something that was not right was going on. So we are not told whether it was a legit grievance right here or just a product of perception here. But one thing was clear: the apostles were not going to allow the murmuring to continue without addressing it. Interestingly, there was no significant debate over where the fault laid. There was no like fault finding. Some people are very good on fault finding. Bah, 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 bah. You know, it's not about fault finding, it's about solutions. That's how it should be. If we, as people, we're just going around about fault finding, we don't have peace in our hearts. It's got to be about solutions. Listen, folks, problems always are going to come up. Don't matter where you go. In your home, in your car. Like this morning, I got to give you a problem. I sat in my car and I put next to me my iPad, my stuff, all the things for church. And I put my check to write my tithe. And for some odd reason, a burst of wind just came up and flipped the check, flops in the air, goes under the car seat. I was like, oh, that was a problem, wasn't it? And I was like, what's my solution? I was like, well, when I stop, I'm not going to try to get that thing dry. When I stop, I will go in the passenger seat and I'll go look under the seat, try to get the check. You know, and I did, you know, you come with this, what's the solution? Because if I'm just going to look at this thing, oh, let's check. You know what? I'm going to get mad. My blood pressure is going to go up. I'm going to keep going. It won't stop. So what's this solution? So here is a problem and it's got to be a solution. But murmuring and complaining are never, listen to this, God's preferred responses to personal problems. Murmuring and complaining doesn't fix problems, neither fix anyone's needs. Actually, murmuring and complaining only makes things worse. You see, it displeases the Lord when we, instead of working together and resolve problems together, complain and murmur about our problems. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Look what God says about murmuring and complaining there. It's not, listen, murmuring and complaining is not something new. It's been on for many years. All right? Numbers way back in the Old Testament. Look what it says. And then the people, and I'll wait for you. Okay, I won't go through that. I'll wait for you. Just get there in your Bible. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, are you ready? And it says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. So folks, When we complain and when we are murmuring, guess who's listening to you? We live in a world that we think God is the man upstairs. There's miles, miles away, and he had no clue what we're doing down here. God knows exactly what you're doing. Actually, there's nothing in your life that God doesn't know that you are doing. You see, it displeases the Lord when we, instead of working together, resolve the problems together, we complain instead. So the word murmuring is a form of appears 40 times in the Bible, now one of those times is actively mentioned in a positive context. Murmuring is not a positive thing, it's a negative thing. So Exodus 16:8 says, "The Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him, and what ye are, your murmurings are not against us," look what it says, "but against the Lord." Wow. So God is not nearly as concerned about assigning the blame as he is about to resolving the problems. Teamwork is the greatest tool for us to overcome any obstacle, any problem, anything that needs to be resolved. I love to sit down sometimes and I say to you guys, or one or two people, I have something in my mind. I say, hey, what do you guys think about it? What do you think that is? Teamwork. I value opinion. Maybe good, maybe something I don't need, but by having and knowing your heart, guess what happened? We can do something like, oh, that's a good thing. For an example, I have a person that says, why we're going out every week on visitation. I said, why we don't go put the distribution every other week? Oh, I chew on that. Pray about it. And the Lord said, that's a good thing. That's a good start, isn't it? So we don't get burned out so quick. So we get all in and we go. So teamwork, we use our minds. We get the obstacle and we talk about it. What is the best solution for it? Teamwork. Let it be the responsibility of the believers. Look at verse 2 in our text. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So when problems arrived, and they will, what is our responsibility as individual people? It is not to complain or murmur, but to take the problem to those who are part of the solution. I read something yesterday. I showed my wife along this way. That was a good meme. It says, when you leave church, when you leave the church you go into, it says, don't just talk about the bad things that cause you to leave. Call about the good things that they have done for you. Wow. I was like, that's good. You see, but notice here, notice that verse 2 says that the apostles called a multitude to the disciples, of the disciples unto them. See, they didn't say, oh, let's sit down and resolve this ourselves. They call everybody. Family meeting. Let's have a meeting together. Let's see what you guys think about. Let's talk about this. We have a problem here. Let's resolve it. And that's the way it should be. You see, that's understandable, and that's the framework of teamwork. They had served the Lord together. They had suffered for Christ together. And now they would solve the problem together. See, teamwork is not one person doing a thing by himself and not sharing with anybody. That's not teamwork. Teamwork is everybody talking about. Regardless, there are things got to be done, privately. That we understand that. But there are things that got to be done together.
Yep, right.
Teamwork, the responsibility of the believers. There were two significant lessons to remember when studying this scene in the first century congregation here. As long as there are human beings in the church, there will be problems. You got that? As long as people in the church, there will be problems. The church is a hospital for sinners. We're not perfect. Some people think, oh, because you have a suit and tie, you're perfect. No, I'm not. I'm not perfect. Far from that. No. Number two, as long as there are spirit-filled leaders and members in the church, there will be solutions. Problems will arise. There's no question. But when humble people come to honest leaders with a genuine need, a solution is sure to be near. Listen, the problems will arrive. What's the solution? Get this. Spiritual Christians are able to make potentially large problems smaller, while carnal Christians tend to make smaller problems larger. When these are in grievance between believers, the Lord Jesus taught us to make the situation right with the most urgency. Don't let the problem linger for a long time because it causes gossip, it causes murmuring and complaining. Deal with it. Let's get together and see what. Look at it. Actually, go to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. That's talking about problems that happen in the church. It happens. You know, sometimes we misunderstand, whatever that is. But I'm not saying we have problems here in the church. Don't misunderstand me here. I'm just preaching to you in a general sense, okay? But look what it says right here. Matthew 5, 23. Look what it says. Therefore, means if it happens, therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother had aught against thee. Look what it says. Leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first reconcile to thy brother, then come over with thy gift. You see what God wants for us in order to have teamwork? We have to have a genuine heart, a forgiving heart towards everybody, and we have to be in good terms with everybody. And God says, if you have something, go talk to your brother and make peace with him. Listen, here's the thing. Don't misunderstand. We don't go to people and point the finger in their face with accusations. When we go to, the Bible says, reconcile. You see that? The word is always reconciliation. We don't go and point and prejudge people. When we go to our brother, is our goal reconciliation. Should be always the goal. Let's say you have a kid. You have a child. All right, you and your child have some, you know, there was an issue in there. If you go to your child every time you go see that child, point the finger and what's going to happen to that relationship? It's not going to grow. But if you go and you go come with, you know, in your mind, what's the solution for this particular relationship? What can we do? You come and let's make a plan. It's of course got to be both sides, not just one. But it's got to be, God says, the goal always has to be reconciliation. Let us see. The priority of the apostle. Look what it says in verse 4 in our text. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So verse 4 explains the heart of the leaders. The apostles did not consider the task of managing the widow's benefit beneath them. That means there's something, I just don't do that because look who I am. No, that's not what they're saying here. Okay? We have to understand here, they didn't say that in an arrogant way. They say that in a very kind way so people understand that teamwork involves everybody. Some clean the church, some dust the furniture, some fix the hymnals, some sing, some play the piano, some teach the little kids. That's part of teamwork.
That's right.
All for the glory of God. But let me tell you this. Okay. They simply came with a common sense conclusion. There was no point for them leaving their core calling for a task that others equally willing could do for them. There was the value, that is the value of teamwork to the surface here. The expression that they could serve tables simply opens the doors for others with the spirit of unity and willingness to serve as due to do something as well. So they could, teamwork means everybody is included. Listen, folks. If we have more people in our church, not talking to our church here, not people in our church teamworking together and do things, it frees me more to what? Study the word. So when I come and teach the word to you, I'm more prepared because I study longer. You see, it is same thing. Let's say a Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher is very involved, very do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. It comes Sunday morning, Sunday school teachers don't have a lesson. Why? Because the Sunday school teachers didn't have a minute to sit down and study and prepare to deliver a message of God's word. You think that's right? No. We got to be sensitive to each other. You say, well, I can't teach, somebody else can. I can't preach, somebody else can. It's part of team work. We work together for the same common good, and everybody have different positions. But I tell you what, in the local church, it should never be 5% doing the job of 100. It should be 100% involved.
Right.
It should be the whole church as a body involved doing the work of the Lord. Folks, this is not plain church. This is the way Christianity works. That's the way it works. Christianity works when everybody is involved. I say, well, go on to the world and give the gospel to every creature. That's for the pastor getting paid. No. It's for everybody. Your name is there. My name is there. All of us. And it pleases my heart when you talk to me about these tracts you've given out. That's a blessing. That's teamwork. So the priority of the apostles, they didn't say this here in an arrogant way. They say this in a very humble way. I said, right, let's sit together. That's what they did. They got everybody together and they exposed the problem. We have this problem. What can we do? For one, we can't do this. We got to get somebody here to do those things. So, I tell you what, be prayerful about it. We can, I mean, some people, you know, it makes me sad sometimes, you know, and it happened here before when people say, oh, it's nothing for me to do in the church. Oh, it's nothing because you don't make yourself available.
That's right, yeah.
Because if you make yourself available, there's many things you can do, we can give it to you to do. Is how willing are you to serve the Lord? And as a team together, let it be the practicality of the solution. Look what it says in verse 3 there. So we see this in verse 3. So the apostles, the workable solution to meet the needs of all the widows. Look, it says, look ye among you seven men whom he may appointed over their business. That is in verse 3. It says the solution was simple, was finding other godly men. All godly, in this case was men here, gifted men who could look after responsibilities within the church. So Peter tells us that every person should be involved in a ministry. Everybody should be involved. In this case, it was the men here. They needed men to do those things, to take care of those ladies. Same thing. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let me put it this way. Each one of us here have gifts. Okay? Some people are very good at encouraging others. Some people are very talented. Some people, they're very hospitable. Why is this gift for? To serve the Lord together. For the common use of serving the Lord together. We use those gifts that God gave us. Listen, you didn't born with a list of dues. God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. You didn't born that way. You were born with what God gave you. We have some tendencies other people don't have. Isn't that correct? And some people seem like whatever they touch, they succeed in everything. You're like, wow. Some people like struggle. I'll give you an example. My daughter Emily, great musician. You know what she told me? That is not natural to me. I have to work hard at it. Some people, they put their fingers, like their fingers flowing through those keys over there. If I try to play that, I'll be like, don't, because my fingers are very flexible. You know, I believe that you will walk away like, wow, it's not your gift. No, it's not. But praise the Lord for somebody who has that gift. And what we do? Everything goes for the glory of the Lord. A team up together. So their practical solution was, listen, this is what we do. We have to dedicate ourselves to the Word of God so we can teach you, but we need some men here that can take that position so we don't have that need anymore. You follow that? So number two, teamwork produces divided responsibilities. So dividing the responsibility within the local congregation wasn't just a good solution to a particular problem. It is God's plan for every local church. God has prepared and equipped each one of His children to carry out the unique role and function within His body. So it is important that we understand that we carry responsibilities, and when we do things together, it eases the life of others. For an example, let's say, for an example, one person is right here going to clean the whole church. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, right.
What about if you have three or four? One does this, one does this. Before you know it's done. Teamwork.
Amen.
Oh, I do this thing. This is mine. This is mine. And teamwork. For an example, we have the food pantry. Or if we have one person attending, the people come in, as they come in, serving them, go serve in the back, drive everything. By the end of the day, that person is exhausted. What about if we have four or five people? Some sit down and as people come in and invite them in, make them feel comfortable, offer them a cup of coffee. You ask them about Jesus if they don't know Jesus as their Savior. One goes in the back and helps. People go out and drive. What happens? Teamwork.
That's right.
That's how things work. So the responsibility, we have to understand ourselves that we can do something and we are responsible. Listen, if you're a member of a team, let's say you're playing like football, and you're a member of that team, your name is in there, your coach expects you to be there, but you never show up when the team is going to play. What kind of team player are you? You don't show up. What kind of team player are you? You're not a team player. You're not there.
That's true.
I'm not saying, no, don't get me wrong. If you're sick at home or something, I'm not a team player. You know what I'm talking about here. So teamwork produces responsibilities. So anyway, look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. It says, but as we have many members in one body, and all members have and not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member, one members of one another. Having then gifts, differencing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on the ministering, or he that teacheth, or teaching. So we see right here that in the body of Christ, there's different types of gifts. What is the purpose? Teamwork. For the purpose of one. We work together as one. So, number one, or letter A there, and a subline, a sincere work. Look what it says in verse 3, honest report. So, they were to be genuine men, not hypocrites, men who did not merely talk the talk, but also walk the walk. See, they were to look with themselves, people of honest report. People were godly people, honest people, people who were, listen to this, dependable. Listen, how can you give something to somebody to do if they're not dependable?
Right.
All right, you want to teach Sunday school next week? Yeah, I'll be there. No call, no show. Not dependable. When I was in the administration, when I was working in this company in Lincoln, I had people working under me. Here's what some people used to do. No call, no show for 3 days, 4 days. Then they show up. Hey, where you been? I've been sick. Why didn't you call? Oh, I forgot. Really? Don't you think we have a product to go out the door? Don't you care for what we're going to do to replace you? Just call and say, well, you know, doesn't matter. Just call, let us know. Same thing. I remember one time we were in our home church, Sunday school in the morning, and we were sitting there. There was no teacher. 10 minutes go by. There's no teacher. I'm not kidding you. 15 minutes go by. We're sitting looking at each other. You're supposed to teach today. Nobody knew. You know, because we have having Sunday, a different teacher running. So they're looking at me. Why don't you teach? I said, okay, I teach. So I'm 10 minutes teacher. Guess who walks in the door? The teacher. And he goes, you're teaching for me. I said, I mean, he's supposed to be here, right? And he smiles like, you know, I forgot. Like, you forgot? So we see sincere work. You know, teamwork involves sincere people. You're part of that team. You know, a team, and when a team is put together and people are not sincere with each other, it won't go nowhere. Let it be, we see, a spiritual walk. Look what it says, full of the Holy Ghost. These men were to be spirit-filled under His control. We learn from Acts 4 that the fullness of the Spirit is found when one connects with God daily through Bible reading and prayer. And, of course, these men were walking with God. And I tell you what, the same thing should be for all of us as Christians. Let us see, we see a sensible wisdom. Look what it says, and wisdom whom we may appoint over their business. They were to be wise and prudent men who were level ahead and of course, content in God's ways and in His Word. The work of the church was too important to rely on those who would wing it or shoot it from, you know, or wouldn't care about it. So there was to be people that would take care of those widows, but they're people that was genuine, people that were godly, people that genuine care. That's the kind of people they were looking for. Listen, the same thing. Listen, if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, guess what? I want you to care about those children. He said, they're just kids. No. They are people. And tomorrow there'll be the people that will probably be the pastors and the youth pastors or the wives or the teachers or the pianists or whatever they are that would lead the church. So we have to look at them and say they are people. And we have to look at them as individual people who need to know the Word of God, so we need to prepare ourselves for it. So it is important. So we need to have wisdom and discernment and this teamwork to have, when we call those people, God, they be people that are willing to do it. So the measure for godly wisdom is this: does not fear God. Some people have business sense, book knowledge or street smart, but they do not fear God and therefore do not qualify for this wisdom. So according to Solomon, fearing God is where wisdom is born, and knowing Him is where wisdom is developed. Look what it says in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. See, Moses, as he divided the responsibilities of God's work, was instructed to find this kind of man. Well, men who were reliable, men who were godly, men who cared about people. Folks, when my wife used to work in a nursing home, when she used to work for the Department of Mental Retardation of the state of Rhode Island, sometimes I used to get angry in my spirit. Things that she used to tell me is that these people should not be working there. You know why? Because they're working with people. And it's more than just a block or a rock or a piece of steel or a book that you... It is people. And we should not mistreat people. We should take care of them. They're made in God's image. The same thing in a local church. The little kids, they're people. The people that come in, they're people. Each other here, we are people. And teamwork, we care for each other.
Amen.
Number three, teamwork, almost done. Teamwork produces divine results. Teamwork looks good in any organization, including the church. Within teamwork, many things can be accomplished. Folks, we have a good sense of teamwork here in our church. Most of you are good team players. Most of you are willing to participate. And I'm talking about our local church here. But we need to continue to be good, relying on this teamwork, relying on each other. Notice what happened on this story of teamwork as teamwork unfolds here. Letter A, their need was met. Look at verse 5. And they saying, please the whole multitude. See, they had a problem. They had a problem there in the church. Some things were going on. They stopped. They called the whole congregation. They had a meeting. And they had a solution. That's what we need to do. We are local church. Many of you are involved. I mean, you know, some of you pray, some of you participate. I mean, it's all got to be the whole church with one mind. Let me put it this way. We're going on visitation. You can't walk. I don't want you to go walk. I don't want you to go hurt yourself. But you know what? But you can participate. How you participate? You pray. When that hour comes, you know your brothers and sisters are there in the front lines, and you pray for them. For what? God, give them a wisdom, discernment, protect them.
That's right.
You see, we can all participate. Some do this, some do this, some do this. It's part of the team. Let's say, do you ever watch, let's put an example, a football team or a basketball team or a soccer team? Does everybody go in the field?
No.
No. Why? Not everybody's going to play, but everybody's participating. Some carry the water bottles. Some carry the cups. In the winter, like when it's cold and they're playing football, some have the heaters. Some have the coat. What do? They're part of the team. They're insignificant? No. When a guy comes out of the field and his muscles all relaxed and sweat and hot, and it's like 0 degrees outside, and he sits there still waiting for his opportunity to go in, you don't think his muscles are going to shrink and get cold and he can get hurt? Of course he can. What happens to that? Somebody comes with a coat, covers them up, puts something, keep them warm. You know what? It's part of teamwork.
Yep, that's right.
So, their needs were met. There was a problem and they came with a solution. Letter B, their number was multiplied. So noteworthy progression occurs in the language used to describe the church growth here in the book of Acts. Early in the book, Luke was given the words added to describe the growth of the congregation. You see, listen folks, if we in a local church, if we just get so much and argue and murmur and complain about the problems that arrive, we're not going anywhere.
Yep.
I'm telling you, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay still and bang, bang, bang at each other. That's what the children of Israel did. Why did they spend so many years in the wilderness? Murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Many times they murmur against Moses, they murmur against the leaders, they murmur against God. And they spend years and years in the wilderness until they got it. Listen, we are not going anywhere as a local church if we just sit down. I'm not saying you're doing that. All right? I'm saying that's what happened. We're not going anywhere. But if we sit down and say, we got a problem, let's sit around. What's the solution? We will move forward. So teamwork works. Folks, individually, we can do many things for the Lord, but we can do much more with teamwork. Teamwork in the local church involves when in the church, everyone wins the blessings of the Lord and he takes the glory. Get this. If we work together with a purpose of reaching the lost so that we can fill the empty pews, we can make a difference together. What can we do together? We can reach much more than we've been reaching. We can do much more than we've been doing. We can encourage each other much more than we haven't been encouraged before. We can do those things. We got to work together. You reach this place, you reach this place, you reach this place, I'll reach this place. We got to work together. The same common goal. Let us see. The nation was moved. Look what it says, verse 7. It's a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So now, how pleased the Lord was with the salvation of the Jewish leaders here. Both Jews and Jesus and the apostles went first to the Jews with the message of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. God has always loved this special people and continues to love them even to this very day. Folks, teamwork, listen to me, works. Teamwork works. Okay, we have a member of our church in Israel right now. Let's say if he went there by himself. He would do something for the Lord. But he's teaming up with the other person. What are they doing? They're doing much more together than they would do by themselves. He gets the glory. God does.
That's right.
We praise the Lord for it. See, team working together. That's what we need to do. Team work together. The nation was moved right here. So, and I'm almost done with this. Folks, teamwork works. Teamwork moves things forward. Teamwork causes big tasks to become little tasks. So teamwork, I conclude with this, teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork was common practice of the early church and can be the common practice of our church as well. Let's get it together. Let's work together. Teamwork, let's do things together and move forward as a unit, not as individuals. Listen, individuals are always going to be, always going to have individuals in the church that view all many things, and praise the Lord for them. But working together for the cause of Christ. Listen to this. Listen to me. Jesus wants you. You want your service. He wants your service. He wants you to serve Him. Listen to this. With your whole heart.
Amen.
He wants you to serve Him. We had one time a member of our church. He's not here today. We went on visitation. We didn't put information on people's doors. He was like soaking wet, sweat. It was in the middle of July, and it was soaking wet. Oh, like sweats were running on him. And he goes, Pastor, I think I'm going to pass out. But I got to do this more often. This is like going to the gym. I said, see, teamwork. What a blessing. He blessed my heart, and I blessed his heart, and he was going. I mean, he was running down the street. I was doing one house. He was doing like three or four. He was going at it. But it encourages you. Teamwork. I tell you what. We need to refocus on what? That teamwork works. It works. If we're going to move forward as a local church, we need to team up together with one mind, same common goal, unto the Lord. When problems arrive, what we do? We resolve them. We don't go around and run each other. We resolve. That's how we move forward. No one move forward just bickering and complaining about problems. We got to team up together and move forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you.